Yeah, they started late this morning. About to start without the Rutledges. Let's go ahead.
Are we going to a place?
No. Is this on? Yesterday we started talking about what it means to be in the name of Jesus. The first thing you have to recognize is that you can't be in two names unless you're double-minded or schizophrenic. You can't be in Harry's name and the name of Jesus. You can't be in Oral's name and the name of Jesus. Because the name, it's not the name of Jesus that's important, it's the name of Jesus. And that's a totally different thing. All that most of us have ever known about the name of Jesus, or praying in the name, he says often, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done for you. And what we end up with is the word Jesus being used as some kind of
mantra
or the cross is this magic thing, or and even here when we see people, you know, when they just repeat stuff over and over again, you know, as a mantra of something is bothering them. I'm crucified with Christ, I'm crucified with Christ. Or whatever it is, that's not being in his name. It doesn't mean you add his name to your name. And that should be obvious to anybody. If you believe the scriptures, you were crucified with him. Crucified means dead. And that was certified when you were buried. You were buried in baptism. And I don't understand, maybe it's just because I'm simple-minded, but I don't understand how one can continue to pay attention to the things that are of you when you've clearly seen that you were baptized, you were crucified, you were baptized, and it's patently obvious that our minds are the Antichrist. But we can't believe that. That's too radical. And so we continue to try to get better, or to do something different, or to change our ways, or to blame other people, or whatever we do, and we don't understand the entire act of our sanctification is going to war with our minds so that we can be in his name.
But evidently, even a giant like Paul had that problem, right?
Well, I'm not saying people don't have the problem. I'm just saying it seems to me that you shouldn't be able to be deceived any longer.
You'd think.
Huh?
You'd think.
There's got to be a place when you stop being deceived and say, I'm not going to pay attention to this anymore. I don't owe this stuff anything. But again, you cannot be, in my opinion, you cannot be in the name of Jesus and in your name. One of them has to go. So that's why the scriptures that we studied in Ecclesiastes that led us to this idea of the name says he hath set ha'olam, or in their heart, that no man may find out what God doeth from the beginning to the end.
Coincidentally, last night we read the Tower of Babel, and it says they wanted to make it. We wanted to make a name for us.
Yeah, a name for us.
Reminds me of whoever it was trying to cast out demons, and the demon says, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I knew me. You not so much."
Let's go look at what the prophet said of this. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 36. Ezekiel 36, I'm sorry. I don't even think there's Ecclesiastes. There isn't Ecclesiastes 36. What? You, Ronnie.
Straight.
Nice try, Ronnie. Starting verse 16. This whole chapter 36 is the restoration of our of the true Israel. So the first part of it is talks about how the Israel after the flesh just kept screwing up just like we do. In verse 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed or menstrual woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. Now this isn't talking about them, it's talking about us too. He's not going to share his persona with an idol. It's not going to happen. And again, because of his humility, he will let you give breath to whatever idol it is. And the idol is, by definition, any image of or any way that you think something should be. Remember, we've talked so often that to be born again, to be converted, means that you lose the capacity to think that the moment you're in should be different than it is. You certify that by the scriptures. The only time the people of, people were ever really commended is in Paul when he said, talking about the people of Berea, they searched the scriptures to see whether these things be true. What things? The things that Paul had told him about the revelation of Jesus Christ. But before we go any further, can you get it in your head that it's tautological, that you cannot be in your name and in the name of Jesus at the same time? Now, in some circles, this would be really controversial. But here, I hope that you accept it as a given. Rutledge, what's going on?
I'm with you.
Huh? You're replacing
Gary.
I'm not.
Somebody has to do it.
You just need somebody to poke every once in a while.
I thought you were going to say, we have to stop right here and
yell at the religious for being late. That's not what you said. No. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to their doings, I judge them. And when they entered in unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. Now, and that's what we're still doing. That's why Paul said that you cause the way to be evil spoken of. I mean, can you imagine the idea of... just think of the sacrifice of God. And he sacrificed everything, his only son. And then watch a whole generation of people use that sacrifice for self-seeking. It's got to be the people are understandable, but it's the preachers that are teaching people to use the name or try to use the name for self-seeking. And because of that, the way of God is evil spoken of. But I had pity, not on them. Listen to what he says. I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel. And again, if I'm not talking to the house of Israel, then I'm talking to the wrong people. We covered that yesterday. Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes or for your name's sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went. Now what is this he's doing? Well, he's about to tell us. And again, remember how full of awe the idea of the name is. Well, we studied the last few days. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, how is he sanctified? How is his name sanctified? You remember, sanctification is a very simple meaning. It means that the thing created is doing what it was created for. That's what sanctified means. If I put salt in this salt shaker and use it for salt, then it is sanctified. If I put sugar in the salt shaker or salt in the sugar, then it is unsanctified. It is profaned because it's not created for what it's supposed to be. And all of the words about sanctification, holy, saint, all are the same word. A saint is someone who is doing what he was created to do. And the only thing that a saint was created to do was to be a vessel for his name. And if you rank one saint above another, then you have created simply idolatry in the name of God. You've simply made God your chief God among many other Balaam or many other gods. And that doesn't work. Again, he doesn't care what he cares what the worship service in you as the temple of the living God is. He doesn't, what you do, what you say outwardly, you know, how you act, is really what goes on inside of you that's important. That's where the name is sanctified. If you think you're in his name and you're continuing doing your own thoughts and your own ideas, and you're unsanctified, you have profaned his holy name. This is like Christianity 101. Right? Do you understand it, everybody?
Yeah, I was thinking that he himself is the name. You know, it talks about the Word of God.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that in a minute.
It's a person.
It's a person.
It's not like a label or something.
I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Now, the parable of our own land was that little piece of ground over in Israel. Jesus said all of the prophets and all of the everything prophesied until John. That was the end. That's why he's so important. Now who's Israel and who, where is the land? That was the parable of the true promised land, which is the New Jerusalem. That new promised land came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost. It came down and it hasn't gone up. So you're in the land that was promised to the fathers when you're in his name. You're under the wings of the cherubim sitting on the mercy seat in the land. For I will take you from among the heathen and will gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And that's what Jesus said. Now you are clean by the word which I have spoken unto you. You are forgiven because now it's his blood. You're forgiven because you're dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And my life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Excuse me. Will you? I'm getting. Can you turn the air conditioner on, Pete, and to close the doors? I'm doing this for John's sake.
No, you're reading my mind. Suddenly, it's like getting really
A new heart, also, will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, how do you do that? You do that by the faith of Christ. You're no longer guided by your own ideas, your own path. That's why the believer has never any idea what he's going to do next. I don't know. I'm sure it is, if that's what it is. All right. Then let's just skip down. Go to verse 31 a minute. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own eyes for your iniquities and for your abominations. That doesn't stop. The moment you walk away from you, you abandon yourself. But this doesn't stop. Repentance has to be continuous. You can't decide, oh, now I'm going to start following. I'm going to return. Now I'm sanctified. Now my thoughts are... A little bit better idea what it means to be in his name. All right, let's I gotta quit. My throat is gone.
Everybody who's up here in the front is coughing.
Something came through the door.
I'm serious.
Anyhow, anybody have any respect? Everybody understand this perfectly.
Wait. If Jerry were here, he'd have some questions.
The main thing is not to say what the main thing is, but that we grow up with in his name as an add-on. So it's really everything is in our name, but by the way. And, you know.
Yeah, it's like.
Jesus God.
Jesus is your big brother.
Well, we're gonna study to see how being in His name is equivalent to being in His name. I mean, you can't separate His name from Him. That's why the understanding. I mean, there's a jillion people. They believe that Jesus was crucified. He rose from the dead. And someday He's coming back, and then He'll make everything okay. The problem is He's already, it's what He did. He returned on Pentecost. The next time He comes, He's coming in the clouds. And when we rise up to meet Him in the air, everything is gone. Time is no more. Can you see why I've said for 30 years that if you're not in heaven now, you never will be? Why now is the accepted time? Can you see why your mind, all men's mind, is the Antichrist? I don't care how full of scripture you put it. Obviously, we'll see tomorrow if we get on that. But in that, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service when you tell them that. Says you'll be hated of all men. Oh, no, I want to be nice. I want to incorporate all kinds of stuff into this mystery. I want to put America in here. Put America in here. No, can't. Can't be done. I'm gonna put Harry in here. That's what Harry wants to do. Can't be done. I'd love to put Oli in there. That's just ridiculous. I can't do that. So anything that where I'm the subject of the sentence cannot be in him. Does that make sense? It's so simple to me. All righty. Nobody else?
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, just about everybody that says they're a Christian says they understand that the parables are parables and it's to be seen. It's like a type of what's real. I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't believe that.
Oh, there's a lot of people that believe that.
Well, I don't know. But the parable of Him coming to Israel and coming to Jerusalem and being in the midst, the kingdom is in the midst of them, and nobody believes it, nobody sees it, nobody comes, and he's on a mountain overlooking the city and says, "You won't come unto me." Nobody wants to believe that parable, but that's a picture of now, that he's here.
How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under his wing, under her wings, whatever he said. But you would not. It was more fun to make something up and run after it. All righty, take a big guy.